that these stories have been used to control us, we can escape them and regain our control. So I understand the frustration, I understand the fear and the anxiety, but I have to tell you that history shows us that when Americans realize that they have power and they do organize and they do fight back, they win. So I actually finished this book feeling a lot more optimistic than when I began it.
Okay, well, that's going to be the last word for you. I just want to reiterate, thank you so much, Jared. I'll just sign off right now for the interview. Thanks so much for joining us, Jared. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, and I just want to reiterate again, we're in our last few days of our membership drive, so please go to kboo.fm. You can also call, you got about a couple minutes left, 503-231-8187 to get a copy of the book for a minimum $60 contribution to this wonderful project in community media and communication, interactive, better than QAnon. Anyway, so that's about all I got to say. Stay tuned for more great programming here on KBOO, and thank you, Sonia, for operating the board. This is Paul Rowland signing off.
Oh, they killed 6 million in the ovens they fried. The Germans now to have God on their side. But now we got weapons.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Attention all KBOO members. Ballots for our board of directors election have been mailed out, so check your mailbox. Then make sure to tune in on Tuesday, October 27th at 10 a.m. or Wednesday, October 28th at 7 p.m. to hear interviews with your candidates for KBOO's Board of Directors. We'll be asking each of our candidates about their skills and experience to help you decide who to vote for. Again, that's October 27th at 10 a.m. or Wednesday, October 28th at 7 p.m. right here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Tune in on Election Day, November 3rd at 6 p.m. to hear KBOO's Election Night Special. We will start the evening with a live stream of Democracy Now! At 7:30, we will be tracking national, state, and local results live, as well as hearing from community groups and your favorite KBOO programmers as we break down this historic election. Again, that's KBOO's Election Night Special starting at 6 p.m. on November 3rd at 90.7 on your FM dial or online at kboo.fm.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community focusing on issues important to Washington County.
Today, our show was taped during the volatile COVID-19 pandemic. With our studio unavailable to us and our commitment to social distancing, we are using the Zoom platform to record today's show.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Today, we focus on the upcoming next week's vote for Beaverton Mayor. Our guests today are the two leading vote getters from the May primary, incumbent Denny Doyle and challenger Lacey Beatty. In this year of COVID campaigning, there have been several virtual debates between these two office seekers. We decided on a different format. Each candidate will be interviewed separately and asked similar questions. We hope this format offers an additional way to compare and contrast the candidates. We begin with Lacey Beatty. Lacey has been a Beaverton City Councilor since 2014. She is running for mayor. Welcome, Lacey, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Getting right to our first question. When you entered the race, you were a city councilor seeking the job of strong mayor. Now, following the city charter changes, you are in the same campaign, seeking the same title with less power and a lower salary. Has that changed what you plan to accomplish as mayor or how you plan to achieve your goals?
No, I think, obviously it was challenging running in a race, not knowing what the outcome of that race would be. However, in this new form of government, I believe that I'm an even stronger candidate. What we need in this non-city manager form of government, with the mayor being the political mayor, is somebody that's able to bring people around the table to move things forward. When you lack the ability to direct people what to do because you have the power, you need to bring people along in the process for shared vision and goals. That's a very different skill set.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. The whole term defund the police has become quite a movement across the country. Do you support it? Could you share your assessment of how Beaverton police are doing regarding equity?
Yeah, well, I think like some things, vernacular choices make it difficult to go. I think when you say defund the police, I think people get a wild idea that it means something vastly different. What I challenge people to do is think through the lens of asking, do we have the right people doing the right work? And I think if you look at it through that lens, a lot of those answers are no. We have people that are trained mental health professionals that go to college and graduate school who spend 7 to 8 years in higher education learning how to address mental health crisis. That's not the same as a police officer. And so I think if we start asking those tough questions and really looking through that lens, the answer becomes a little bit easier to see. And I think we've asked police officers to be everyone's everything for some time. And so as we expand the police department and their roles and responsibility, it becomes harder to do the job, and it's harder for clarity to see what officers are actually doing. And I think the answer, you know, we have really great police officers in the city of Beaverton. We also have not great police officers in the city of Beaverton. And I think depending on who you ask that question of, is it our BIPOC community that sees the police differently? Is it a middle-aged white woman that looks at our police department? What I can tell you is this, that it is every elected's responsibility to be asking hard questions of our police department right now, no matter what city we're in or what level of government. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm bringing the community along in the process, because that's the real difference. I didn't put the council on a 3-week break. I invited people to continue to ask questions about policing. And we need to have the community's input here, not just the council and not just the mayor.
Understood. And when we talk about input, could you explain a little bit how policy is set for the police between, say, council and the police union?
That's a great question. And I think that is some of the concerns community members have, is where is the council's authority end and when does the police union's bargaining authority begin? And the council has been shut out of the police bargaining position for some time in our strong mayor form of government. So I think one of the plus sides of this form of government shift is that council will play a much larger role in some of these decisions that involve our union members and our city staff. And so I think for right now, the council is just trying to understand from our perspective that very question, which is why we've had so many meetings around training and hiring, because honestly, we didn't really know. And I didn't have a firm understanding to be able to argue to somebody those nuanced differences. So I'm on this journey just like everyone else.
Understood. And am I correct in my understanding that the council has also involved the Human Rights Advisory Commission in this work?
Yeah. And I think the Human Rights Advisory Commission has taken a large role in this work because the council is not. And so I think what we're seeing is community members that want questions answered. And so they started out on this process on a separate track than the city council did. And so they're getting answers to questions, and they are planning to bring a recommendation to city council, I believe, in the new year. And the real question is council ready to hear that recommendation? Because we just hired an outside consultant to go and meet with BIPOC community members and agencies that represent different community members, and they gave us recommendations and the council wasn't ready to move on them. So I think one of the problems that I find challenging in the situation that we're in now is that we continue to ask people to come and tell us their opinion, to relive their trauma, to tell us all of those things with, we're not ready to make action on it yet. So to me, that's a really hard place to be in, is that we could have people continually come tell us a million different things about our police department, good and bad, and we're not ready to make a decision to move yet.
No, all you do is stir up more controversy and more discomfort if there's no efforts at resolution at all. I understand, and yeah, I hear you. In light of the pandemic we're dealing with, you've criticized your opponent's response to the coronavirus. If you had been mayor from last March through to today, what would you have done differently?
Sure. Well, right away, what I already did was bring our elected leaders together to solve issues. I think sometimes the city of Beaverton acts in a silo versus having everyone in our community together. We have a special district water, we have a special district fire, we have a special district park department. We're not a city that operates every agency. And so there was no effort to bring those groups together to solve our issue. And I think our community members should expect and demand that all levels of government work together to, one, not do redundancy, but also to make sure that we're serving our community in the best possible way. And so for me, like, that was a big thing. And I think, too, we have not spent nearly the amount of money supporting working families that we should have. Working families have paid a huge burden with schools closing, trying to do their jobs. You know, our childcare facility closed. My husband's an active duty military officer. I'm the one that had to pick up a disproportionately large role in our child's education and future. And I'm not unique. I'm just a normal story that's happened during this pandemic. And so I would have shifted a lot of that money much earlier to support working families.
In some of the literature and messages I've heard, Lacey, in your campaign, you talk in terms of the current mayor's involvement, very strong involvement with developers, and how that's influenced perhaps his vision and his policies. May I ask, what would you do differently? How would you work differently with developers and approach the whole management of the city differently?
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that question because I do think it's really reflective. You know, the mayor has almost exclusively raised money from developers in our community or real estate developers that profit from their relationships with City Hall. And so one of the big differences I did right from the get-go was not accept any developers' money, because the voice of a few should not dictate the future of our entire community. And I don't want to be involved in a government in which people are able to buy influence through campaign donations, which is why I've often talked about campaign contribution limits, to be able to limit the power of a few in decision-making policies. And for me, I've been in City Hall for 6 years. I see the kind of, you know, influence they have inside of our building when it comes to our decisions and policies. And so I have a good relationship with a lot of our developers. It's not that I have a negative relationship with them, but they know that they're not getting to me through money. And to me, that's a really stark difference, is how much my competitor and I have raised from community members. The average donation to his campaign is over $1,000. The average donation to mine is well under $200. And I have twice as many community donations to my campaign than his. And I think the average community member in Beaverton wants to be heard. And the way that they can do that is, you know, through their voice and through their vote. But it's challenging to get that message out when you're being drowned out by money.
Okay, thank you. Beaverton also recently adopted a climate action plan that seeks to reduce fossil fuel consumption by 50%. And make the city carbon neutral by 2030, as well as having 86 action items for getting there. As mayor, how will you ensure the city undertakes substantive and meaningful action to meet its climate goals?
I do appreciate that question as well, because I believe that this climate action plan is very aspirational at best. It doesn't have a lot of hard points in where we get compliance. We're running an opt-in plan here, where if you want to contribute to climate reduction, you're able to do so. We need to really look at that through a different lens. And the way that I would immediately do it is create a climate action committee where 50% of the membership is under the age of 30, because it's their future. And what we see in boards and commissions is often wealthy and retired community members getting appointed so that they shape and hold the future. We really need to relook at our entire process and how we recruit for boards and commissions. But for this particular commission, I would be looking for a membership 50% under the age of 30, because, and give them some authority and oversight, because they need to make sure to help hold us accountable to reaching the goals in that plan.
If you are elected mayor on November 3rd and take office in January, the seat that you currently hold on city council will open up. What kind of person with what kind of style would you like to see successfully gain what would become an open seat?
Well, I'm not one to count my chickens before they hatch, so I'm waiting to get through this run. But I'll talk in a general 5,000 foot view or 50,000 foot view of the kind of city councilor I would like to partner with, whether I continue on council or they join me through a termed out seat by another city councilor. Is that somebody that's not afraid to ask hard questions, somebody that is diverse. We are the most diverse city in the Northwest, and so having a council that is more reflective of our own community is really important to me. It's important to my daughter's future. It's important to Beaverton's future. I think, too, we often don't have a lot of diversity among the average income that our city councilors make, because it is a hard job that requires you to have full-time employment and offer and be around at city council events. Everyone wants your time. They want meetings like today at 10 o'clock in the morning and along with anyone else. And it's just, it's the reality of this job with, and it also really limits who can be in that seat. So if we want, and also it's really costly to run races. I would love us to see some kind of campaign contribution limits, as well as like a city matched program similar to Portland, so we can have more people afford to run and ask, why not me? Why can't I be the one sitting there making decisions? And so we have to fix some of these structural issues that preclude people from service. Then we can get somebody in the seat that's truly reflective of our community. But also, most importantly, I like to surround myself with people that tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. I think to be a good leader, you need to have somebody that's willing to challenge you and your ideas. And so I'm not looking for a carbon copy version of me. I'm looking for someone that's going to force me to be a better leader through hard questions.
To kind of put this to a close, would you be kind enough to share for our listeners what specific experience, skills, and talents you offer that make you the best choice to lead Beaverton in 2021?
I appreciate that. So, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm a mom. I'm raising my daughter in a global pandemic, just like a lot of our parents. My mom lives here in the community. She, I think about seniors and their ability to age in place gracefully. I think about my sister who was chased out of Beaverton because of rising housing costs, and my work with Home Plate Youth Services, you know, serving Washington County, its only nonprofit serving youth that are experiencing homelessness and housing instability. I think about my role as the second vice commander of the American Legion. This is the most deployed guard state in the country, and I bring a very unique lens from that work as well. You know, I've served on the majority of our boards and commissions, but it shouldn't be about my service resume, because I think sometimes we forget the service is privilege. And so what I want people to know is that I show up, I do the hard work, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning most days to answer emails, and I'm going to fight for your family just like I fight for mine.
Thank you, Councillor Beatty, for your time, and thank you for joining us today. Best of luck in the election.
Thank you.
Our next guest is incumbent Mayor Doyle. Denny Doyle has served as a Beaverton City Councilor for 14 years and was elected mayor in 2008. He is seeking his fourth term. Welcome, Denny. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm glad to see you. Getting right to our first question. When you entered the race, you were the incumbent in a strong mayor position, seeking re-election to the same job. Now, following the city charter change, do you see the position of mayor as full-time?
It certainly can be for a city this size. It's there's a lot going on, and the new role for the mayor is a lot of meetings, a lot of public appearances, but also working behind the scenes, lobbying for this, lobbying for that, at Metro, at the state, at the federal government. And, you know, it's very nice. I mean, I have all those connections. I don't have to go get a reputation. So I'll be in service right away.
Should you be reelected, would you see your actual job functions changing all that much then?
Oh, yes, because I won't be managing the 600 plus employees in the city. That takes a lot of my, quote, normal daytime hours, whereas the other things are evenings, weekends. I mean, it was until COVID hit, it was 7 days a week job. And
you got
two things you had to balance. And, you know, I got very comfortable with it, and I have a great reputation in the region and national. I could tell you some stories there about people, visit people in Boston. They say, they know who you were. And it's, well, I knew the mayor of Boston, but it's just funny how it works.
Defund the police is quite a movement across the country and even across the county. Do you support it? Could you share your assessment of how Beaverton police are doing regarding equity?
Sure. You know, I think the real slogan should be reimagine some of the services that the police have to do, especially in the social service end. They've been given, along with the fire department, depending on which 911 assignment that gets handed out to deal with a lot of mental health issues, things that have nothing to do with a crime in progress. And if you talk to our typical policemen here in Beaverton, if they didn't have to do that, they'd be very happy. They want to be policemen and do police work. So we have to shift some funding, add some funding. I've asked the chief of police to look at the Eugene program. She's done it 3 or 4 months ago. Now she's taken it to our whole county group of law enforcement and 911, because, you know, 911 is shared by a whole bunch of people in this county. And I should know that because I chaired their executive committee. And I think that we need to rethink how we want to deliver social services. When I was president of the Oregon League of Cities, I got that into one of the top five priorities for the league to go pursue mental health dollars to the state. Slowly but surely, we're getting there, because that is a problem that probably a third of the calls end up dealing with.
When you look at making those changes, and I do understand what you're saying, and personally, I support the idea of mental health involvement with police a lot. Yeah. Sure, I've had some experience in that area myself. Sir, who actually helps or finally decides on policy? Is it council or is it the police union?
Well, it's the police administration in terms of, you know, how they want to do it, but also the council can certainly set up budgetary mechanisms to help deliver on the social service funding. And I'm sure council is going to pursue that this year. I know we're already looking at bringing on, social service workers. The chief is looking at it, developing partnerships with the different agencies that do it, because we're not going to bring them in as employees. We're going to bring them under contract.
All right. Thank you. Your opponent has criticized your response to the COVID-19 crisis. How have you responded since March? And in hindsight, would you do anything differently?
You know, I don't know what more we can do. We've taken millions of dollars to help small businesses stay in existence. We enacted a ban on evictions, launched the support hotline for renters. We expanded our homeless shelter during the COVID crisis. We partnered with a church to create a food donation center. We have spent probably $3 to $4 million, some of our own, but at least $1 million of our own. The rest is the federal dollars and directed to help things stay open. The first round of funding that we did for businesses, nearly 70% was women or minority-owned businesses, and that trend has continued. We've added additional subsidized housing options. We created a safe parking program. The people who are living in their cars have a spot to go. They agree to have counseling. They agree to have mental health issues dealt with. And we've actually had success with that program. People have come out of there into permanent rental housing. And we're going to hopefully get a full-time homeless shelter, including wraparound services for families in Beaverton. I think we've done a lot of things in terms of COVID.
What's left to be done? We're taping this in October, of course, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with the virus, let alone weeks or months down the road. But what's left on your agenda right now as far as dealing with the virus?
Well, we have to figure out how we can get the general population, when the vaccine is there, keep everybody wearing the masks, to try to take that tide down so we get to level two, so more businesses can reopen. That's huge, and it's really hurting us. We just can't get there. And of course, we're linked with Multnomah and Clackamas. So yes, we've got to get ourselves to level two. A lot more things will happen. Kids will be able to do more active sports. The schools will probably, you know, come January, look at actually going back into a classroom. Those are things we really hope happen. So a lot depends on what the science does for us. We have to get the vaccination that's working, get people to use the vaccination, bring down the levels, and open the city back up in terms of city biz as well as private business. It's a struggle, and it's not going to happen by election day. It's going to continue until we get some known things that work. We're going to have to continue as is. Otherwise, we're going to reverse it, and then things will have to ratchet down. It's like a yo-yo, but right now the yo-yo is staying down and not coming back up.
Your opponent also makes a major criticism of your terms by saying that you favor your relationship with developers in Beaverton. Could you comment on that? Is there anything you are doing or could be doing to reach more Beavertonians, regardless of socioeconomic status?
Well, first of all, the developers, I know that my opponent suggested that all we care about is hotels downtown. We've done one hotel in the city involvement. Of all the hotels that come in on commercial property, we process those requests like anything else. Wish Campers out in South Cooper Mountain, we're bringing in, they're bringing in a lot of affordable and senior housing. So they're new to the area. They're a great company. We, Fred, the Polygon is building the old Kmart site. And I talked to the developer. I said, well, how about some affordable housing here? We're working on that. He first said no, then he said yes. So we're trying to do that everywhere we can. And I think that we involve the community at so many different levels, boards and commissions. We've done the diversity and equity inclusion since 2009. We're very serious about it. We're doing it internally. And we reach out to the community. I think if you talk to the different ethnic groups, they see the city as a good friend.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Beaverton recently adopted a rather ambitious, I think, climate action plan that seeks to reduce fossil fuel consumption by 50% and make the city carbon neutral by 2030, as well as 86, pardon me, action items for getting there. Right. As mayor, winning re-election, how will you ensure the city undertakes substantive action to meet those goals?
Staffing has been a challenge, but we now have a team in place, small but mighty team, and we're going to lay out a calendar, and we're going to have check-ins and make sure the things we say we're going to do, we're going to get done. And if we need to go out and get help from private sector and say perhaps a contract basis, we will do that. It's something we really have to do. If we haven't learned lessons about what's going on in the world between the fires, and the COVID, and the storms, and the increasing frequencies, it's real. I've been active in this area for quite a number of years. I didn't go to the Paris Accords, but I did meet with people who went there right after they got back by their invitation on my map, when they got back from that. So I think it's real. The National League of Cities is there. The U.S. Conference of Mayors is there. And those groups, they don't care if you're a DNR or an I or whatever. They are trying to solve problems. And they're a great resource.
And given those resources, is the plan doable or is it just a little more ambitious and more based on hope than actuality?
You know, I think we'll have a good answer to that by the middle of next year. How much can we get done now that we have the staff in place to do it? And we have to start refocusing right now. We've all been worried about the virus, but they are working on the plan. They're developing a calendar, and we will see. I hope we're not too ambitious, but you know, you got to set it high to get your goals accomplished.
I did not mean to imply that there's anything wrong with ambitious goals. I'm just hopeful that good, solid goals can indeed be met. Thank you, sir. You have been on council and serving as mayor of Beaverton for a long time. When you won the primary in May, but without a majority, and at the same time, the position was changed in the charter, did you feel let down by the voters?
You know, it was a mixed emotions. I mean, I really like the form of government that we had because I think I've done a great job. But if citizens want to have a change, then we'll deal with it. And, you know, being the mayor is still public service, and that's what it's all about for me. It brings challenges, but it's a comfort level I have. And I have a track record. People know how I function. They know that my operatives is what's good for the community, not so much what I really think. I try to embody what staff wants to do, what the community wants to do. And we'll get forward. This is a great city. There's a little change of government. I doubt the citizens will actually even feel that change. We'll continue to provide services. I mean, over the 12 years as mayor, I've asked for a 3-cent tax increase to hire two more bike patrol officers to help us with the homeless. That's been about it. As we annex property, that brings tax dollars in and keeps our overall rate to everybody else who's here, you know, down. And people don't always understand it, but we've done a great job of it. And we, you know, hopefully we'll get some more on the southwest and when Cooper Mountain gets ready to annex in. So we are trying to keep the cost down. I think we've done a good job of it. It lets us do other things. And we chase grants. We're getting grant money. Got a great team in D.C. that works for us, and they produced a lot of grant money for the city to do projects X, Y, and Z. And we'll keep that up.
Thank you. What specific experience, Mr. Mayor, skills, and talents do you offer that make you the very best choice to lead Beaverton in 2021 and beyond?
I think my skill is dealing with people on a basis that establishes trust. I don't like to lecture anybody. I don't want to say, well, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. That's not how you approach it. It's not about me. It's about what the community wants. That's why when we've talked to our community two or three times in the last 12 years, upwards of 5,000 each time, because that's the numbers that are really important, is we learn what people want us to do. And we also learn about things that are concerned to this group, that group, and we have to act on those. And I think the team here in Beaverton is a great team in place. The executives are super, and they've built great teams to work with them. And that takes time. And I hope that those teams will stay in place and continue to perform the services that the citizens want. And I'm a good leader at that. That's the way I function. I don't use the I too much. And I really feel it's important. It's a team, and you have to listen to everybody, talk things through, and do it in a manner that's professional and with an open heart and an open mind.
So much appreciate your concept of teams. And it brings up the concept when you suggested that no matter who wins, council will kind of get together and any transition will function smoothly. I understand that, and that's generally speaking what I would expect. Yet I can't help but notice that in this race, existing current council members are divided. I think just about 50-50, although it's hard to ordinarily be hard to divide five and get 50-50, but right, because of a vacancy, et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering what you think of that division, and regardless as to whether you're successful or your opponent is successful, I'm wondering what makes you so confident that council will be able to come together after separating like this in this race.
This is just one issue. Council has done a great job over the years of getting things done. They set priorities. We work with them, we, the strong mayor and the staff, mm-hmm. and we've got a lot of stuff done as a group. And so this is just one issue that will be settled and life will go on. And I'm very confident council will do that because they've done it. I don't know what else to how to respond to that, but I have great confidence in council that they'll continue to provide the excellent work. Next year it'll be we'll provide excellent work for the city.
Thank you very much, Denny. Really appreciate